Scare your lawn straight by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, and I know I keep saying that, but it was beautiful this morning. When we got here, it was still dark, and my dashboard said 58 degrees. I was actually a little chilly setting up, and after being hot for a couple months, I don't mind being a little cold now and then. Our lines are open at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U if you'd like to sneak in a question. We took a gentleman earlier who was Steve on a container garden. Jay, building the perfect container garden, first of all, the benefits of container versus a ground-in garden.
Well, there's a number of benefits in the fact that you don't have to deal with our hard Arizona soil and amending it. You can just dump in, pour in, depending on how big it is, either a nice bagged soil product like a potting soil or a, you know, a Mel's mix, or just a nice prepared soil that's nice and loose and rich and easy to plant. And you pour it in and you're ready to plant, as opposed to tilling and working the soil and having to amend the soil. The other advantage is they are up off the ground. And, you know, the older you get, the further the ground seems to get away from you. the harder it is to get back up, that sort of thing. So you can build the raised bed, you know, to a height that is easier for you to work on, to maintain, without as much bending.
Let's say we build it up to 3 feet. I mean, you fill that all with potting soil. That's a pretty big expense. Can we? How much of that top layer needs to be good planting?
Yeah, only about 6 inches or so. So, you know, you only need about 6 to 8 inches of the potting type soil. So you can fill it with, you know, some native soil or some, you know, rock for drainage at the bottom, and certainly some lesser expensive type products up to a point, and then take that last 6 inches or so and use a good prepared type soil. And if you have a really big garden, you can buy those bulk, you know, generally the any of the landscape material places will blend you a soil that's a really nice blend for growing vegetables and flowers in. You just have to tell them what you're doing. They can deliver that bulk, or you can pick it up if you've got a pickup truck. And that certainly will cut the cost down as well.
How big do I need to plan this? We have got a texter who wants to build one for his mom. How do you know how large to make that?
Well, I would always advocate for starting smaller than you think you need. Start small and think big, right? So little 4x4, 4 foot by 4 foot, the kits that we sell for square foot gardening kits, you can grow, you know, 16 plant starts in a 4x4 garden. So that's plenty big for most people to start with. And then you can expand those as you have success or decide you want to grow more of something, or, you know, broaden your horizons a bit. But I think 4 feet by 4 feet is just a good little size to get started with.
We talked earlier about lining the inside if you're using a block or any type of material that may have something in it. Railroad ties come to mind. You had mentioned make sure you leave the bottom open so the water can wick out. Do you have a favorite material to put down to keep weeds from coming up or critters from coming through the bottom?
Well, you can buy a weed mat or a weed fabric that allows moisture to percolate through it and does a pretty good job of keeping, you know, any unwanted grasses and weeds, maybe except for Bermuda grass. It'll slow it down, but it won't keep it permanently. If you think you have issues with gophers and ground squirrels, then along with that mat, you can get a, you know, a fine mesh like a chicken wire type product or a hardware cloth or something, you know, that's a woven steel type product that would still let moisture through. I'd still put the weed fabric down, then put this on top of it. That generally will keep most critters from at least coming up through the bottom.
And the one benefit you had talked about, building it up so you don't have to bend over, you know what else that really helps?
No what?
Your critters.
Oh, rabbits, well, yeah.
You put it down where the rabbits can find it. Even if you haven't seen a rabbit, they will suddenly be 20 of them around your garden enjoying your hard labor.
Certainly a raised bed, you know, up to the level where a rabbit can't get to it is a great idea. One of the bigger problems we generally have with any vegetable garden are birds. And so that won't certainly help that, but it's a lot easier, I think, to cover a narrower raised type bed if you can. One thing I would advocate as you're building that raised bed is maybe put some PVC sleeves every few feet so that you can then put a smaller piece of PVC in it and make a bow, you know, out of it and cover it with either frost cloth or shade cloth or bird netting very easily that way. That makes a really easy way to protect that garden, to shade it, to keep the birds off of it, and to also keep the frost out of it.
There you go, Steve. Good luck on your container garden building or anyone else that's out there thinking it's a wonderful time for growing season. And it's the salad season, as we like to call it at the house. We could pick a fresh one every night. We had Frank on the line earlier.
I have his question for you. He had an ocotillo. He's in Tucson, and he had an ocotillo that blew over in the wind. It was a mature one. So he trimmed it up a bit and put it back in the ground, and he's wondering if it will take. You know, he also had read online how you can take just one ocotillo branch and put it in the ground, and it will take. So is there any chance that that thing will come back?
Well, there's a chance. There's a, you know, a pretty good chance. Ocotillos are a funny thing. They can take a long time to leaf back out, but yet same time you can just cut off each branch or limb and stick them in the ground and they'll start growing. You know, so it's certainly worth a try.
Well, you answered his question because he was asking how long, but I think he'll just have to kind of wait it out, right? So he probably won't know till the spring.
He probably won't. Yeah, it'll be at least spring before he sees much now.
Thank you.
Ocotillo, that's always a tricky one. There's never any. Every time they call, it's you know, always just a, well, wait and see.
Well, it kind of is. Now, you can check the canes or the branches, you know, by, you know, scratching them or making sure they're still green. I mean, if they're dry and brittle already, then it's, you know, it's not going to resurrect. If it's dead, it's dead. But if it's still green and viable and the tissue is alive, then it's worth planting it or straightening it back up and replanting it. And, you know, you've got a decent chance that it will leaf back out.
If you do take a cutting and try and start a new one, is there anything special or just stick it in and apply water?
Yeah, there's really nothing particularly special that you need to do. They do need some water now and then, probably a good drink once a month or so. And some folks will tell you to kind of spritz down the canes, keep them from dehydrating and drying out. Since it doesn't really have any roots, that's the problem with most ocotillas is that they're just dug up out of the desert, hauled around on the back of a truck, delivered to a nursery, sit kind of drying out, then you buy it, and you know, depending on how long they've been out of the ground, probably is a factor in how well they take or don't take. But certainly keeping some moisture to them is a good idea.
And a little later today, we, in addition to the fastest trout, there's a hot dog and horticultural event.
Yes, we do. We're first Saturday of the month. We're got the grill. We'll have the grill started up. And if you have any questions, Jeff and myself, my brother Jeff, will be there to take any garden question that you have. You have us all to yourselves for a few hours on a Saturday. So if you have, you know, we're here every Saturday morning, but if you can't get in on the air, if you want to ask your own question, you want to bring a sample, you want to bring a little sketch of your landscape, anything to do with gardening or landscape, we'd be happy to answer your questions, no obligation, and feed you, a hot dog right off the grill.
And y'all's showroom, you have put a lot of hardscapes in recently in that area that's got the pondless waterfall and your barbecue area. That's a, and it brings me up because I'm sitting in front of, what do you think, Rosie? 2 million different types of blocks of neighbors?
So we're in the middle of a forest of concrete block, that's for sure.
Incorporating that hardscape into your outdoor living area is something y'all have done nice at your showroom and a great, great display. But you can also come down here to the Lone Butte plant, manufacturing plant of the Oldcastle Superlight.
This is where they make the Belgard product, number one outdoor hardscaping product in the world.
Absolutely. We have... I'm sitting where I can't hardly see anything. The sun's right at my back, and I can't see any of my electronics, so I'm trying to check my time here. We've got a few minutes left here. What's the most critical thing in the garden right now? We've mentioned it before in the last couple of weeks. There's hardly anything you can't do.
Well, you certainly want to take advantage of, while we still have, you know, reasonably good warmth. I know everybody's saying, hey, it just cooled off, but we want this 80, 85, 90 degree days and cool nights keep the soil warm. It makes it ideal for planting trees, shrubs, and vines, for still getting winter lawn started. You know, once it gets cold and we start having frosts, then that takes some things off the table. You don't want to be planting bougainvilleas and hibiscus and some of those things. So we've got a little window in here where you can do a lot of planting. Not that you can't, you know, come colder weather, but it just changes the palette which we plant. So great window for that. Making sure that if you have planted that winter lawn and you've mowed it a couple of times, let's make sure we fertilize it. We don't want it to slow down too much before it gets cold, and then they can kind of yellow out. So keeping it fed. You know, the other thing that we should mention is the fact that, you know, with these new fresh plantings and vegetables, and especially the leafy things, and also bougainvilleas and the yellow bells and orange bells, we're seeing lots and lots and lots of caterpillars with this beautiful temperatures that they love it too. And so they're feasting on some of the new growth on your tender vegetables. So kind of be on the lookout for those. Of course, control is up to you. Sometimes just picking a few off will work. If they're just devastating you, maybe you need to use something more of a spray. But we have some great organic choices for sprays these days, so you can treat them very safely. So be on the lookout for those as well. You know, you're mentioning being there at Superlight, Oldcastle. You know, we've got displays of those, and that, you know, they're a little saying, a room without a roof. You know, this is the time of year when we can really enjoy those out of doors if you're looking for expanding your outdoor living space. There's not a better bang for your buck, I think, than a little bit of hardscape paver, little bench seat wall, fire pit. Can do it pretty quick and pretty easy, and get it done before Christmas at least. I don't know that you could get that done before Thanksgiving now, but certainly when we can start enjoying outdoor fires in the outdoor spaces, this is the time to do it.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.